dismissed. You can need to switch the thing over. Thank you. The message I have this morning is going to be geared a little bit towards our graduates, but specifically, I know that we're in graduation party season. We are in a place where you're going to be celebrating various lives and accomplishments and some of the things that are going on. You might be a grandfather, an uncle, an aunt, a cousin of somebody who's going to be taking this next step in their lives. And I want to share with you this morning some things that I believe that we as followers of Christ, those who have an opportunity to kind of lead by example, to speak into the lives of those who are in a season of change. And the season of change that we're looking at today is specifically graduation, but there's also other seasons of changes. I went to college and graduated and was moving on in life, and then I got married, and that was a new season. After we got married, a few years later, Eve came along, and that was a season of change. A few years into that, my father passed away, and that was something that was new that we had to deal with. A little bit after that, I was asked to become the senior pastor here at Grace Fellowship Church. That was a season of change. So the one that we're experiencing and expressing today, and some of the things that we can pull from these experiences, are things that we can carry on with us. It's not just singularly about graduating, because as we look across this room, I'm looking at a number of people that have graduated maybe even a very long time ago. But the reality is that there are many opportunities for us to be stretched and to change. Can I get an amen? There's many things that happen in our lives that change is a part of what's taking place. As someone who was graduating from high school, I can remember that was really the first time I can say that I experienced change. Now, I was fortunate enough to be able to go to college and commute, so I still lived at home. But then when I transferred and I was in the dorm life as an older student, I was actually thankful for that. I went to the campus of Elam Bible Institute at the age of 21. I had experienced everything. I was a mature student, according to my wife. That's why she married me. No, I'm just kidding. I have to be careful. My good friend Kevin Mahaffey and his wife Gail are here. He was the dean of men at Elam when I was a student there. And so I have to watch myself. I'm still under the watchful eye of my mentor while I was a student there. But God is able to take us from one location of life to another and use those as benchmarks. And all through the Old Testament, we see the recognition of you're going from this place to that place. And what they would do in the Old Testament is they would actually build an altar. And we say, we're going from this into this. And they would build a memorial, just like what we are doing here in recognizing Memorial Day for those who have given. There are monuments all around the United States that are set apart for those who have given their lives. And it's a recognition of change and accomplishment all at the same time. This morning, I would ask you to join with me as we look through a few scriptures on what it means to actually say, at this point, what is the greatest thing that could be happening in my life? And I want to turn to a scripture that's normally used in weddings, but it really rings relevant to us in seasons of change. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, Paul ends this section on love this way. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And many times I've done several weddings in the time that I've been the senior pastor here. This verse eventually comes up in some form or another. And we associate it that way. But the reality is what Paul was attempting to get across to people is that there are things that are going to be happening in your life, and you need some things to be very prevalent in you. One of them is faith, the other one is hope, and the other one is love. But then he takes it the time to actually say that there's a greater of these three. And the greatest of these is love. So this morning, I want to just take a moment and go through some scriptures with you so that we can see what it means to be in a position where we are being guided by the very truth of the Word of God. Faith. Let's take a moment together and look at faith. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus shares this at a moment when there is this question of, what does tomorrow bring? How am I going to function? How do I know that God is going to provide? How do I know that God is going to be there? And one of the descriptions that Jesus gives is nature. And that's an amazing thing to me because we were fortunate enough by our house, we had this little tiny robin family that came and did all their work. We got to see them build the nest, and the eggs were there, and then the chicks were born, and then the little spotted chicks were jumping around in the grass, and we're wondering, is one going to get eaten? You know, the things of life are happening. They grow up. We came home one time or stepped outside, and one was perched on top of one of the fences there, and there it was, all ready to go. We saw this progression that's happening. And the mom and dad were providing for those chicks. But where were they getting their food? It wasn't the same. You and I, when we go to work, we're expecting a paycheck. We're expecting somebody to do something. Then when we go to the store, we expect there to be food in the store. You know, as we travel internationally, you walk into some of these grocery stores, and sometimes there's nothing, or sometimes there's all of one thing. Or there's so many things in there, nobody in the town can even afford to go buy them. The shelves are just packed, and there's nobody in there shopping because they can't afford them. But these animals, Jesus is saying, why would you worry about anything? Because even the birds of the air are taken care of. Even the weeds and the grass, it's beautiful. The grass is not working. The dandelions, no matter what you do to a dandelion, it's going to survive. I took straight up poison and individually went around and sprinkled it on top of the dandelions in my yard. They're still there, just as strong as ever, growing through concrete, some of them. But a simple frost comes and kills things with roots feet down. I don't understand. But you see, it is the provision of the Lord that was the faith that they were looking for. How can we worry about these things? How can we be focused on these things if we're not willing to say it comes from God? And then Jesus said this, and ask, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Now, faith is a word that we kind of, in our society, they think of, well, you have faith. In other words, you go to church is what they mean. They look at it that way. But the reality is that faith is something that is based upon us saying, it's not important what I see. What's more important is what I do not see that brings out the next one is what I'm hoping for. One of the scriptures also says that we have faith because we have seen. That's what Jesus says to the disciples when he appears to them. And he says, well, you're encouraged and you have faith because you see. But greater is the faith of those who believe and yet have not seen. Amen. That's you and I. Faith is something that's extremely important to the realm that we live in, that we must have faith. We must have the ability to say that, God, today I am going to center my attention on you. We have the parable of the talents, and I'm not going to read the entire parable to you, but if you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to open up to the Gospel of Matthew and the 25th chapter. And I want you to see some things that Jesus bases the growth of the individual on through this parable. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants to entrust to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents. So also the one who had 5 talents made more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." This next section is where we're going to focus for just a moment. "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good,'" and say it with me, "faithful servant." The idea that the Lord has blessed us with the ability to look around us and say, "How can I serve? How can I be a part of the community? How can I walk through this thing called life?" And we know the result of the parable. If you've read it before, the one who had 2 came and he got the same response. You see, Jesus was demonstrating that he wasn't after the quantity so much as the effort that went in to what was going into that work. And so the one that had 5 received a blessing, the one that had 2 more received a blessing, but the one who brought his 1 talent back was not blessed. But the whole idea is based upon, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We need to be people of faith, hope, and love. And if we can say that we are focusing on this idea of faith, it will actually lead us in a direction of saying, it's not faith that I come to church. I'm not a man of faith because I come to church. I'm not a religious person because I come to church. I'm not even a religious person because I have daily devotions or I spend time in the Word or I pray or whatever I might do. My faith is determined by my dependence on loving Jesus Christ. I need to have Jesus in my life. Over the last number of weeks, we talked about having the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we were able to see last week a demonstration of many coming forward and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit last week. And we know that from that point forward, God is going to continue to grow in faith, that our faith in Him will continue to grow. That faith develops something called hope. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. "Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So look at what it says. "Through Him we have also obtained access by faith." In other words, we have a venue, we have a place that we can come because our faith is there. We believe that Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross and He rose again on the 3rd day. That is something that we believe, but our hope is encouraged through our faith. That's where our hope comes from. That our hope is able to say, okay, now that I have faith, I have this hope that something greater awaits me. In simple terms, we refer to this as being able to go to heaven. That's what a lot of people refer to this hope that we have. But we find out through Scripture that simply going to heaven is not the purpose of salvation. It's a great benefit, and I'm glad that we are going. But it's not the end purpose. We need to be able to say, we are walking in the name of Jesus Christ. My faith is built upon the fact that I know that Jesus is who He says He is. And because I rest in that faith, my hope is built. Do we see that? My hope is encouraged. I actually have hope. It's something that is absent from the society that we live in today. Very few people actually have hope. People don't even understand what hope is outside of Jesus Christ. What is there to hope for? I hope that the Pens win the Stanley Cup. I mean, what is that? What kind of hope is that? You know, I hope that, you know, we're getting ready to go on vacation. I hope that I come back from vacation. Right? Griswolds are going to Wally World. And we're taking off and heading across country tomorrow afternoon. Our hope is that everything's going to go according to plan. We've reserved things. We're stopping off at different places. We're doing all kinds of stuff. And our hope is that it'll all be there. But that's just because we've planned. But through spiritual growth, my hope is actually encouraged through the fact that I have faith. Do you see that progression? My hope is that through faith, I will be able to see who Jesus Christ is in my life. My hope is built on those things. The courage of being able to see those. Also in Romans chapter 5, going to verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And if you've been a part of any of the services over the last 5 weeks, we just concluded a series on the Holy Spirit, that we see that it is through the Holy Spirit that we can even declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. That we can even have an understanding of what it means to have great hope. As our faith is built up, as our hope is encouraged, as we see these things, hope is built upon the faith that I have. When Jesus kind of scolds them, so to speak, and says, oh, you of little faith, they also had very little hope at that time. They didn't even understand what hope would be. But as their faith increased, guess what also was a byproduct of that? Their hope increased. Do you see the connection? Is that if we are of little faith, then there's a good chance that we are also of little hope. But if we are of great faith, then there's a good chance we have great hope. I would encourage you this morning to be able to see that these things, they go hand in hand throughout Scripture. Also in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, may the God of hope. God has many names in Scripture, but we find out specifically that He is the God of hope. We say, well, he is our provider. He is our healer. He is our comforter. But we have to realize, too, that the God that we worship is, in fact, the God of hope. Hope comes from one place and one place alone. It comes through your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you want to increase your faith? I'm sure you do. But in increasing your faith, understand that your hope is going to increase as well. There's going to be purpose that's laid out. There's going to be a desire for something more. You're going to look at your life and you're going to say, there are things that I want to accomplish. Yesterday at the graduation service we were sitting in, there was this wonderful illustration that was given on not being so grand and big in society, but focusing on the small things and allowing God to use you in your day-to-day life. He was using social media as an example, but there's many things that we could come to, and we realize, you know, I want to be this successful person, and I want to have, the world is my oyster, or whatever, however anybody might say it. But the reality is that when it came down to describing what life was like, Paul said, faith, hope, and love. These three things. And yesterday, the speaker was so eloquently letting them know that it is the small things that Jesus recognizes. It is the things that we do day in and day out. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of focus. As I was pondering on some of the things that he shared, I remembered when Jesus was instructing them to go into their prayer closet and not to be out there all showy and saying this is what's happening and I'm going to waltz around and demonstrate how this is changing my life, or even better yet, when he talks about fasting. You know, I guess the habit back then in that culture was when the Pharisees or somebody was fasting, they would wear sackcloth, they'd have ashes on their head, they'd go around all sullen and mulking, moping around and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus said, don't do that. When you're fasting, put on your best clothes. Go out there and stand tall and stand straight and allow the suffering to be something that is done in private. Those types of things build our hope. That we could be an encouragement in those small things that only Jesus Christ can see. So finally this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14, Paul says it this way, let all that you do be done in love. Faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This morning, as we even reflect on and remember those who have fallen, there's a verse that people often use. It's John chapter 15 and verse 13, and it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And that's a verse that is often associated with our fallen soldiers. But obviously we know through Scripture exactly who was being talked about at this point. Jesus was demonstrating that it takes a lot. It's a great sacrifice that's about to happen. But I'm doing it for you out of love. When was the last time that you sacrificially gave for someone you love? When was the last time that you were able to look at something and say, this has very little to do with me, and it has everything to do with you. I hope that through this endeavor, you are increased and I am decreased. That is love. I hope that what I am doing causes the people around you to recognize you and not recognize me. Jesus demonstrated this when the disciples were coming in for that day of celebrating the Lord's Supper. They had very little idea of what was exactly about to happen. But when they came in that day, Jesus met them in a servant attitude and got on his hands and knees in front of them and began to wash their feet. A servant leader is what Jesus was demonstrating. Unfortunately, in our culture of Christianity, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but this idea of servant leader has actually become a catchphrase. It's become a cultural word in pastoring. And people say it so often that I think that they forget exactly what it is that's coming across their lips. That if you're going to lead, you actually must serve. You must have the attitude of, this is about you, not me. What I am doing right now is I am promoting you, not me. Peter was almost angry with Jesus. He said, you cannot do this. But Jesus insisted. And I would tell you today that when we come to this place of being able to see exactly as a follower of Christ, what it means to lead as a servant, it changes some things. Our idea culturally of leading is that pyramid where at the very top is the leader of an organization or the pastor or whatever. And oftentimes people have been, you know, kind of smart with the idea, and they take the pyramid and they turn it over and they say, this is how it should be. But even that doesn't make any sense, because I've never seen a pyramid built upside down. It probably wouldn't work, right? It's going to topple at some point. But instead of even using that picture, what we should be doing is recognizing that if somebody is really leading somebody, it should be more like a fruit tree. Where is the tree getting the nutrients from? The roots. How often have you gone out into an apple orchard and gone, wow, look at those beautiful roots. Oh, the roots are just gorgeous. You see those roots? But that's where Jesus is in our lives. He says it this way, I am the vine and you are the branches. But really, what's happening in that illustration is he is a direct connection. He is our foundation. And if we want to see, and I'm speaking now directly to our graduates, if you want to, is Tommy in class? Gee whiz, he's got to get the... But if we want to see a generation lead, that generation, Anna's not here either. They're out serving. All right.
Josiah, this is all for you, man.
It's this concept of being the root. Because through that, all of the nutrients, everything that is being taught, everything that is being trained, everything that is happening goes up through that. And then we have this beautiful season that we were just in where the blossoms were coming out. Everything was flowering. Why? Because the roots were doing their job. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to try to cut down a tree that was on your property. You cut the tree down, and in a few years, there's another one, right? You have to come and get the stump guy to come in. And I've even seen in the last couple of years in our block, we've had large trees that have fallen over. They come with a big stump grinder and they come and they plant a brand new tree. And about 5 feet away is a seedling from the roots of that tree they cut down. The roots are very powerful. As we begin to pour into those who are around us, it becomes less and less about us, and it becomes everything about the fruit. One of the things that is often there is they're saying, what is the fruit in your life? Well, the reality is the fruit in my life is actually seeing those around me blossom and grow. Can I get an amen? Sacrificially giving the greatest of these is love. I want to read one section as we go into my third closing of Scripture. General Electric Power Company. There it is. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those who are opposed to each other, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things of these I warn you against. As I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here we go, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, what's the first one in your list? The fruit of the Spirit is love. I want you to see this morning that as Paul was writing this chapter in Corinthians that has become known as the love chapter, and we've used it in weddings and we've used it at various ceremonies, I want you to see that really what Paul was doing is he was attempting to demonstrate that there are some powerful things at work in this world as we serve the Lord. We need to have faith. And as we have faith, our hope will grow. And as our hope grows, we can have a pure love for one another. But he makes sure that we understand this, that the greatest of these, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. As we go into this time and as we go into this season where each one of you are going to have an opportunity to experience a change that's happening in someone's life, understand this, that we as believers in Jesus Christ need to be willing to demonstrate what true love in him is. Seeing fruit in others' lives. Seeing them grow. Seeing them accomplish great things. It was even the choice that Jesus was laying out when he said, greater things than these will you accomplish. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. He wasn't wanting us to necessarily stand there and be, oh my goodness, I could never do anything like that. He said, no, 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 no. Greater things. Greater things are you going to do. This morning, I'm looking across a room of people where Jesus is saying, greater things in you I want to accomplish. Faith, hope, and love, these three abide. But if you say it with me, the greatest of these is love. Father, I pray this morning right now in Jesus' name that we would be able to see what it takes to have love demonstrated within our lives. That Father, this morning, that as we celebrate even the accomplishments of those that are here with Anna and Josiah and Tommy and Johnny, Father, we just ask right now that you would move greatly in their lives. But Lord, we would also be able to see that the greatest accomplishment is loving those around us through the faith and hope that you have given us so that fruit may begin to shoot up in the lives of those who are closest to us, who we are pouring into, who we are seeing come into relationship with you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together this morning. Remember that out in the lobby, we are having a time of just celebration. There's cake and coffee and things like that. We're really going to be having a chance to celebrate these. We're just so grateful for what the Lord is doing in their lives today. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that it would just sink deep into our hearts. We go from this place desiring to see faith, hope, and love grow in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.